Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Let us turn together to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, as we read the verses 24 to 30. Hear God's word. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Thus far the reading of the Word of God. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts. Dear friends, throughout His earthly ministry, Jesus had dealings with the most unlikely persons. He had dealings with lepers, with harlots, with publicans, people who were blind and sick, and even people who were possessed by demons. And in this respect, Jesus distinguished himself from the religious leaders of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees. These men would have nothing to do with such people. Such people were beneath their dignity. But that was not the case for the Lord Jesus. Jesus was willing to have dealings with anyone who needed him, including Gentiles and even women. Now we have a good illustration of that in the words of our text, the well-known account of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. And it's to this passage that we turn with the Lord's help. My theme is Jesus' dealings with the Syrophoenician woman. And we'll consider, first of all, the request he received, secondly, the faith he elicited, and thirdly, the blessing he bestowed. Jesus and the disciples were making their way from Galilee, where Jesus spent most of his time, to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were the two major cities of Phoenicia, which was a predominantly Gentile region situated to the northwest of Galilee on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The fact that Jesus was going to Tyre and Sidon is rather surprising. And that's because this region was primarily inhabited by Gentiles. What is more, throughout the Old Testament, with the exception of the reign of David and Solomon, these cities were enemies of Israel. And one wonders, therefore, what the disciples must have thought, let alone the religious leaders of the Jews. For no rabbi would ever go to Gentile region like the region of Tyre and Sidon. But Jesus did, for he had come to do the will of his Father in heaven. He knew that here too there was a lost sheep who needed to be found. And so that's where he went. He left, in a manner of speaking, the 99 sheep in the wilderness in order to find the one. Well, when he arrived there, Mark says he entered a house, most likely the house of one of his disciples, a follower of the Lord Jesus. Now, who this person was, we don't know. Whatever the case, he entered into this person's house and he gave orders not to tell anyone that he was there. Now, why did Jesus give such an order? Well, probably because he needed a time of rest. Jesus had tried to arrange this rest back in chapter 6. And there we read that Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a boat and to sail to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to an area called Bethsaida. And when they arrived there, a large crowd of people was waiting for them. Apparently, they had seen Jesus get into the boat and had followed him along the shore. Some followed in their own boats. And in compassion, Jesus again began to teach them. He taught them all day long, and then he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But now Jesus needed a break. He needed rest. And so he commanded the owner of the house not to tell anyone that he was there. It's also possible that Jesus just needed some time to be alone with his disciples. Very soon, Jesus would go to the cross. And there he would sacrifice his body as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of his people. And there was still so much he had to teach his disciples, and so he commanded the owner of the house not to tell anyone that he was there. Well, not long after he arrived there, however, news got out that Jesus was nearby. And that shouldn't surprise us in a way. Back in Mark 3, verse 7, we read that a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. Evidently, very early on in Jesus' ministry, the people of Tyre and Sidon became attracted to Jesus. Some of them even became his disciples, including, most likely, the person at whose home he was staying. Well, now that Jesus was among them, they could not contain their excitement, and so they came to him from all over. In fact, many people were aware of this, that Mark writes in verse 24 that Jesus could not be hidden. Before long, multitudes of people came to where Jesus was staying. Well, one of the first, if not the first, to find him was a woman. Now, we don't know much about this particular woman. All we know is what Mark reveals here in our text. First of all, he tells us that she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. Now, the word Greek here is probably used by Mark in a very general sense to convey the fact that she was a Gentile rather than a Jew. But it may also identify her culturally. Since the days of Alexander the Great, who conquered that region in the 4th century BC, the region of Tyre and Sidon had been culturally and linguistically Greek. And Mark knew this, and so he called her a Greek. Now, the word Syrophoenician served to identify this woman ethnically. She was from Phoenicia, which at that time was part of the Roman province of Syria, hence the name Syrophoenicia. Now, significantly, Matthew, in his account of this event, refers to her simply as a woman of Canaan, emphasizing the fact that she was a descendant of the Canaanites, whom God commanded the Israelites to exterminate in the Old Testament. The second thing that Mark tells us about this woman is that she had a young daughter who was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, many people during the time of Christ were possessed by evil spirits, both Jews and Gentiles, adults as well as children. And that was the case here as well. And needless to say, this must have been a great burden for this woman. There's nothing more painful for a parent than when their child is ill. But this woman's child was not just ill. She was possessed by a demon. And there was nothing she could do about it. And then she heard about Jesus. Most likely she had heard how Jesus had cast demons out of others. And perhaps, she thought, perhaps he would do the same for her daughter. And so she made her way to the house where Jesus was staying. And upon finding him, we read in verse 25 that she fell at his feet. And the fact that she fell at Jesus' feet expresses at least 3 things. First of all, it expresses her deep respect. Evidently, this woman knew that Jesus was no ordinary human being. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, she addresses him as Lord and Son of David. And so she fell at his feet in respect. The fact that she fell at his feet also expresses her utter helplessness. This woman had tried many things, no doubt, to help her daughter. Jesus was her last hope. If he did not help her, she did not know what else to do. And so she fell at his feet. It also expressed her own unworthiness. You see, this woman knew that Jews do not ordinarily have dealings with Gentiles, much less a rabbi like Jesus. In fact, the Jews regarded Gentiles as dogs. That's what they called them. And what is more, she was a woman. In Jesus' day, women were regarded as second-class citizens. And as a result, no self-respecting rabbi would have anything to do with a woman, much less to speak with one. And this woman knew this. And so in humility, she falls down at Jesus' feet. And then we read, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. This woman evidently was at her rope's end. She had tried to do everything she could to help her daughter, but it was all to no avail. And so she did the only thing she could do. She besought the Lord Jesus to help her. My friends, can you identify with this woman? Do you know what it's like to beseech the Lord for His help? Maybe you've done this in connection with the needs of your soul. The Holy Spirit, perhaps through the preaching of the gospel, has opened your eyes to see something of your lost and sinful condition before God. And you realize that you cannot go on living as you have been living. And so you fell down at His feet and you besought Him to forgive you of your sin and to create within you a new and a clean heart. Maybe you've done this in connection with the needs of your body. You go to the doctor one day, he tells you, you have a serious illness, and you have only a short time left to live. And upon hearing that, you fall down on your face before the Lord. You beseech Him for healing. And that is good, of course. We should always beseech the Lord for all of our needs, our physical needs, and our material needs, as well as our spiritual needs. But have you ever fallen at Jesus' feet and besought Him not for yourself, but for your child, like this woman did? Maybe some of you know what it is to have a sick child. You bring the child to the doctor, he runs all kinds of tests. For a while it looks very serious, and suddenly you're gripped by fear and concern for your child, and you fall on your face before the Lord and beseech Him to be merciful. Or you may have an older child who is not walking in the ways of the Lord. You see them going down a path that will ultimately lead to their own destruction. And you speak to him. You plead with him. You warn him. You pray for him. But you're powerless to change him. Well, my friends, take instruction from this woman in our text. Bring it to Jesus. Bring your children to Jesus in prayer. And beseech Him to do for your children what you cannot do for yourself. J.C. Ryle writes this. He says, "Never, never let us forget that the children for whom many prayers have been offered seldom finally perish. Let us pray more for our sons and daughters, even when they will not let us speak to them about religion. They cannot prevent us speaking for them to God." Oh, may God grant that we may do the same. My friends, let us never cease to pray for our unconverted children, remembering the prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And so Jesus was confronted with an urgent request. This woman asked Him to cast this demon out of her daughter. Well, how did He respond to this? That brings us to our second point. This woman evidently had a very great need. Her daughter was possessed by a demon, and there was nothing she could do about it. And so she came to Jesus, and she asked Him to cast it out. Now, surprisingly, however, Jesus did not answer her, at least not at first. And we know this because Mark tells us she besought Him. We could also translate, she kept on asking Him. And the idea is, she did not simply ask once, but again and again and again. In fact, Matthew records that after a while, the disciples became so annoyed with her that they asked the Lord Jesus to send her away. Well, at long last, however, the Lord did answer her, only it was not the answer she expected. He said to her, verse 27, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or not proper to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Now, Jesus here is contrasting the Jews with the Gentiles. The Jews were the children, and as such, they deserved first dibs on whatever food was being served, because they were God's covenant people. The Gentiles, like this woman, were the dogs, and as such, they deserved nothing, especially not if the children are hungry. And so what Jesus was saying to this woman is this: why should I do anything for you and for your daughter? You are, after all, only dogs. I came for the children, for the Jews, for God's chosen people. And therefore, I must feed them first. You deserve nothing. Now, at first glance, our Lord's response to this woman appears to be rather harsh and insensitive, even cruel. But that was not at all his intent. In actual fact, he was testing her faith, even eliciting faith from her. He wanted to see what she would do next. Would she respond in pride or in humility? Would she accept what Jesus had said? Or would she flatly reject it and turn on her heels and turn her back on Jesus and resume her life as a pagan idol worshiper? Well, as it turns out, Jesus was not to be disappointed. Rather than become upset or even angry with Jesus or return home sad and dejected, this woman was actually encouraged. You say, how could she have been encouraged? Well, notice what Jesus says. First of all, he uses the word first. First, he says, let the children be filled. And that word first implies a second, doesn't it? And that fact gave her some hope. Jesus had not said no to her request. He merely said that the children had to be fed first. And who could deny that? What is more, he called her a dog. Now again, you might think, well, how was that an encouragement to her? I mean, how many of us would be encouraged if the Lord Jesus called us a dog? Well, not many, but this woman did. Why? Well, to explain this, we must understand that in the original Greek, the word dog is what's called a diminutive. And that means it ends in a suffix that usually denotes smallness, but can, on occasion, also denote familiarity and even affection. Now, we have a few diminutives in English. For example, in English, we can refer to our father as Dad or Daddy. Daddy is more affectionate than Dad. And that's the case here as well. Jesus calls this woman and her people not so much dogs, but rather little doggies. And by adding that diminutive, Jesus is communicating to this woman that he did not regard her as a dog, such as one might find on the street. Those dogs were filthy and dirty and often vicious. They were scavengers who lived on whatever they could find. No, he regarded her as a little doggie. The kind of little dog that one might find in a house as a kind of a pet. And this fact gave this woman hope. If she was a little doggie, that meant she could partake of the scraps that fell from the table. And so without missing a beat, she says to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." It was as if this woman was saying, "Yes, Lord, I know that I'm not numbered among the children. And as such, I know that I deserve nothing from your hand. In fact, I am no better than a dog, as you have said. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And Lord, that's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking to be seated with the children at the table. I have no right to ask that. I am only asking for a crumb." And we learn here several things about the nature of true saving faith, don't we? We learn, first of all, that the person who has true saving faith will not rest until he has what he's asking for. And isn't this woman a beautiful illustration of that? This woman asked Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. At first, Jesus did not answer her. The disciples even begged him to send her away. And when Jesus did answer her, he called her a dog. But she kept right on asking, and she did not stop asking until the Lord had granted her request. Oh, my friend, do you know something of that persistence? How often do we not ask the Lord for something, and when He doesn't give it to us right away, we just give up? Oh, let us take instruction from this woman. She would not take no for an answer, and neither should we. Secondly, we learn here that the person who has true saving faith has low thoughts of self. Consider this woman. Jesus called her a dog, and she accepted it. She didn't get angry or defensive. She didn't march away in protest. She admitted that what Jesus said was true. She was no better than a dog, even if it was a little household pet. And such is the admission of every sinner who has come to see something of his sin and unworthiness before God. He comes to see himself as a mere dog with no rights to anything. Do you remember the story of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan and grandson of Saul? But David restored to him all the lands that had belonged to his grandfather Saul. And when he also bestowed on him the privilege of sitting at his table, Mephibosheth bowed himself to the ground and said in David's presence, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" Mephibosheth was so overwhelmed by the goodness and grace of David that he compared himself to a dead dog. And so it is for every child of God. Every child of God whose eyes have been opened by the Spirit of God to see himself for what he is by nature and what God is willing to do for him is absolutely overwhelmed with a sense of his own unworthiness. And with Mephibosheth and the Syrophoenician woman, he willingly assumes the title of dog. My friends, is that also your admission today? Have you also come to see yourself as a dog before God? This is where faith begins. It begins with a heart that has been humbled by God. And so Jesus elicited from this woman true saving faith, and he was not disappointed. For following this, we also see the reward of her faith. And that brings us to our third and final point. Jesus was amazed at this woman's faith. Matthew records Jesus as saying, "O woman, great is your faith." And then he did as she requested of him. And we read in verses 29 and 30 of Mark's Gospel, "And he said to her, 'For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter.'" And we read, "And when she came to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed." Oh, we see here something, don't we, of the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ. As in the case of the centurion's servant, Jesus did not actually go to where the young girl was in order to cast out the demon. He cast it out right from where he was standing. And my friends, he's still the same today. And he will do the same for you as well. Oh, has the Lord opened your eyes to see something of your great need for a Savior? Has he uncovered you to your sin and your need for him? Then do what this woman did. Fall on your knees. Beseech him to save you. And if at first he doesn't answer you, don't give up. The Lord is just testing you. He wants to see if what you're asking for you really and truly desire. And if you persevere, he will answer you and grant your requests, for he has never sent the poor away empty. And he will not send you away either. And so do not give up, my friend. Keep on beseeching the Lord. Our Lord therefore had dealings with this Syrophoenician woman. But we would do an injustice to this passage if we simply interpreted it as an illustration of how the Lord works in the heart of a sinner. That's true, of course. But there's more here. Much more. For in his dealings with this woman, our Lord was communicating a vitally important truth. That he had come not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Now, this had already been anticipated in the Old Testament. Many times the Old Testament speaks of the future ingathering of the Gentiles. In fact, in two places in the Old Testament, the name of Tyre is mentioned explicitly. It's mentioned in Psalm 45, verse 12, where we read, "And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor." And in Psalm 87, we read this, "Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her." Now to be sure, all of this did not happen fully until the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. But we see a trickle of it here. This one woman was the first fruits of a much greater harvest to come. So that now the vast majority of the Christian church is made up of Gentiles like you and like me. Oh, how great and how rich is the grace of God. We who are the dogs may become children. And as children, we may partake not just of the few crumbs that fall from the table, but of the feast itself. And today the Lord invites sinners everywhere to become a partaker of this feast. Oh, hear him as he calls in Isaiah 55, verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Oh, do you hear him calling today? He doesn't offer mere crumbs, but wine and milk, and he does so without money, without price, and he invites us to eat to the full. Oh, my friend, will you do so? Those who look to him will never be sent away empty, but they shall be filled and be satisfied. And they shall feast at his banquet, both now and to all eternity. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Leman Road. Leman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N. In Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including here who we are and what we believe and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Leman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. This program is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in and being active, a living member of a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you're not a member of such a church, please make every effort to become one, as is in keeping with the will of God. Thank you for listening. And now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.